Hello. Motivation. Motivation. Motor vocation. Fuck the motor, go on vacation. An extended form of procrastination. Progress tin cans? See, just like you, I have a problem. Can't be fucked with shit sometimes. It all seems like a good idea, and it's real pretty in my head. And then I sit down to do it, and fuck it. And you're told you just gotta do what you gotta do, and you know that. I know that. We both know that. It's fucking obvious. Maybe you're studying, or you work, or you have some other project that you're working on. Procrastination is the enemy of motivation, in that it is very easy to motivate yourself to procrastinate and feel justified in it while time slips past like an evil cockroach that I can't quite squash with my foot. And I try. Oh, how I try. Cockroaches and Asians aside, thank you for listening to this episode of In Psychedelia. This is episode 6. And I'd like to thank everyone who has thus far contributed to this podcast and provided feedback. I thought I might go over what the mission statement of this podcast is so far, just in case you were confused, wondering, or confundering. The focus of the podcast will be primarily on Melbourne, drawing together the unique culture of neurochemical explorers from artists and musicians to critical writers and journalists. This podcast is our shared collaborative voice. It is a place to unify our ideas and expressions and broadcast them to you, the listener. The key to the success of this podcast is within its content, and its content comes from us. Unified, we can add a new facet to an unnecessarily controversial and taboo subject. With this in mind, I invite you to contribute something. If you find yourself with tin cans full of cockroaches while on your motor vacation, then perhaps it's time to get the boot and let the sweet heel of justice bear down upon your foes. I'm sorry, I really suck at metaphors. What I'm saying is stop. I stopped. I was sitting in Melbourne CBD the other day, just pondering. Sometimes we forget to just stop. I sometimes forget to acknowledge the moment, because I'm so caught up with wondering about what I gotta do that I forget. In this episode, a new tune from Brodaja, quick bit of Oz politics, and some extended music from Signal Loop, who recently played out in the bush of Victoria. This is Bradasha. Pretty cool public service announcement. Thank you.
Signals every minute from the environment. Most of them are not even conscious of receiving the effect on the legs, our arms, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our chest. All this information is pouring in, and the nervous system is making evaluations at different levels, making its way up. If we try to be conscious of all the signals, we couldn't do it. Because to be conscious of that many signals simultaneously means we only perceive chaos. We can't handle that much information and organize it rapidly. So we throw out all the information that seems unimportant, which means we also throw out all the information that seems threatening to our belief system or to our dogma or to our ideology. We throw out everything we think can be ignored safely, so we concentrate on the things that seem important. And our brain constructs a model out of the information coming up from the rest of the nervous system, and we project the model outward and consider it reality. It's not reality, it's our reality tone. Everybody else in the same room is constructing a different reality tone. We all perceive a different world because our brains are organizing it according to patterns the brain has created to organize.
That's pretty cool.
A few weeks ago, I attended a discussion put on by the Ideas and Society program at La Trobe University. Professor of Politics, Robert Mann, regularly hosts public debates and lectures at the Bundoora campus in Melbourne, and recently he invited Greens MP for Melbourne, Adam Bandt, and Australian Labor Party MP for Fraser, Andrew Lee, to join him to discuss recent political controversies between the two parties, which have a shaky alliance in Australian politics. The full discussion is entitled The Future of the Left in Australia, Labour and Greens, Enemy or Friends? And you can find a link to it on the Encyclopedia website. However, at the end, which covered a wide range of discussions on the party's policies, the audience had a chance to ask a question. Andrew Lee is an economist and spoke earlier in the discussion about using market-based solutions to fix problems in society, while the Greens have the most socially liberal drug policy of all the major parties in Australia. Earlier this year, there was an Australian report that found that the war on drugs was a failure, and this was just one of a myriad of reports showing this fact. The policy position on drugs in Australia costs more tax money than it saves, and Andrew, you said that the ALP like market solutions to problems, and Adam, your party has moved away from its more liberal position on drug policy in the past. Why won't either party adequately address this topic?
Well, I know that we've moved away from it. We continue to advocate it. Richard Di Natale, a health spokesperson who's worked in the area of public health as a drug and alcohol doctor, in response to that when it came out, said, yes, this is exactly the debate that we need to have. From a straight political point of view, when the Greens get up and say that and start to advocate for it, it almost invariably gets misconstrued, and you end up with, as we did in Tasmania, where I think it was the Labor Party doing robocalls to people's homes on the eve of the election saying, did you know that the Greens want to give heroin to your children? You know, we'll talk about heroin to your children. And, like, until we can have a sensible debate about it, To be frank, it is difficult for us to get up and continue to advocate. We haven't changed our policies. You'll see what Richard said, but when we get up and advocate, we're often a convenient whipping boy, when in fact what we're saying is what the majority of health professionals would believe.
So there's a group in Parliament, Mal Washer, Richard Di Natale and myself, who sort of meet regularly to talk about these issues as to proper drug regulation. I actually just think there's an awful lot we don't know about what the world would look like in a highly liberalised context. And so this is an area in which, you can argue about current policies, but that doesn't automatically tell you what you ought to do. That's particularly true given that the drug market has changed substantially in the last decade. This isn't your mum's drug market, right, which was fundamentally about marijuana, cocaine and heroin. This is a market in which entrepreneurs are building new pharmaceutical substances faster than kids in nightclubs can buy them. And regulating that market, I think, is pretty tough. But it ought to be harm minimisation. I think the ACT Labor government has made the right decision now on allowing a needle exchange program in the Alexander McConachie Centre, the ACT jail. Probably only in the ACT would you see a government put in place a prison needle exchange program 2 months out from an election. I think it's a pretty brave decision. We've copped some flack internally from the public sector union, but I think it's the right thing to do.
I'm not sure how you feel about their answers, but I feel they were relatively stock standard. Unfortunately, it was the very next day that the second Australia 21 report on alternative drug policies came out. I have since tried to contact Adam Bandt and one of the report's writers, Dr. Alex Wodak, but I'm not entirely sure how seriously these people take podcasts, even though it seems that we take the policy issues more seriously than the mainstream media. I will endeavour to discuss the latest Australia 21 report on the podcast with some politicians and Dr. Wodak in the future. You're listening to In Psychedelia. Across Victoria, any time of the year, people haul big sound systems, generators and decorations out to hidden bush locations to bring together their tribe or many tribes to stomp, dance and play. It has become somewhat of a cultural tradition for many people, and although the music is different and the speakers are a new innovation, the tradition goes far, far back. It seems the tribes have gathered to celebrate under the moon, stars, sun and clouds for millennia, to dance and congregate, for ceremony and awe, for play and community. This new twist on an ancient tradition is no different at its core. Signal Loop was deep in the bush for Ex-Theogen 2012. As a musical treat and a welcoming of spring, here is part of his set.
Thank you. bright side, your happy life, your Photoshop beauty. Show the world what a hero you are.
Contributors to this episode of In Psychedelia. Signal Loop's full set is available at his SoundCloud, and you can check out more of Bradajar's music at his. Links at insychedelia.podomatic.com. There's also a link to the full discussion on the future of the left in Australia, Labour and Greens' Enemy or Friends, put on by La Trobe University Bundura's Ideas and Societies program. As always, I am searching for contributions. Through collaboration, we see a more complete picture. Congratulations also to the Psychedemia Conference team at the University of Pennsylvania in the US, who, judging by what I've seen on social media so far, have had a successful conference over the weekend. If you enjoy this podcast, share it around. There are a few other podcasts that I recommend, and I regularly post links to things that might be of interest to you in the Facebook group, so remember to sign up there. All links at insychedelia.podomatic.com.